How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Walk-offs and wild pitches are a guarantee.
It's wild thing!
Ah! Because
chicks dig the long ball.
Now let's go around the horn.
Play ball!
All right, welcome back to the Sports Line Retroff at Lane on a Water Dog Wednesday, going around the horn, and we're running a little bit behind, so we only have a couple minutes with Sicknarf Loopstock of the Lynchburg Hillcats, who joins us here on the Sports Line. Hey, Sicknarf, how are you? Sicknarf, are you there?
Yes.
How are you? Appreciate you taking a couple minutes for us.
Yeah, no problem. You guys are welcome.
You guys are right in the midst of it seems kind of weird to say, pennant race, but an opportunity here to, lock up the first half of the season in a spot in the playoffs and chasing the Salem Red Sox. And you drew a little bit closer, but a little bit of a setback last night.
Yeah, well, I mean, we kind of like in there, a battle could be the whole game. I mean, like as things go down, so we try to keep the focus and maintain the latest win today and keep it going so far and try to get the number one spot the first half.
Sicknarf Loopstock with us here on the Sports Line. This race, how much do you guys pay attention to the standings and the chance to clinch that playoff berth?
I mean, we don't really get too excited to watch the standing, but we know we got a pretty good team, so basically going out there every day to compete and just try to do our best and for the club and just be ready every day to get the number one spot. So
you're off to a great start so far this year, leading the team in RBI and tied for the team lead in home runs, and offense obviously a big part of your game. Talk a little bit about the offense as a whole for the Lynchburg Hillcats and where you feel you guys are at in terms of making a push here towards the end of the first half of the season.
Oh yeah, this year started really good. I mean, I would try to keep the same attitude, the same positivity every day. And for us as a club, I mean, we start to pick it up a little bit lately, and we know that right now, we're going through the seventh inning, down by 3 runs. We know that we can respond with the bat, so that's a good sign for the team, and hopefully we keep doing that and grab the number one spot for this first half to clinch the playoff.
Well, Sicknarf, I know you got to go stretch, and we're running a little bit late, so I apologize for that. We'll let you go. Best of luck tonight and the rest of the way. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Big one coming up tonight for the Hillcats as they take on the Salem Red Sox. Still chasing the Sox, the Salem Sox, for first place in the Carolina League standings.
Kind of an accordion effect, and they're playing them now, so a chance to either gain ground or settle this thing one way or another on the field.
All right. Well, we'll see how see how it all shakes out, and we'll keep you folks posted. More baseball talk right now as we're joined by Andrew Ramspacker of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. We're hoping to be talking about Super Regionals and the Cavaliers advancing, but unfortunately that's not the case. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
Thanks,
man.
For having me.
We're good. How was Texas? Wet?
Awful. It was awful. Yeah. No, it was nothing like going covering 3 games affected by about 34 hours worth of delays. So, yeah, I hope to never go back there.
You know, obviously the things didn't work out very well for the Cavs. How much of it do you attribute to the weather and the delays? And obviously they were a little bit short pitching, and the delays I'm sure didn't help that. Not that it's an excuse, because everyone had to deal with it, but
yeah, I don't know if the delays, I mean, obviously you're right, both teams had to deal. It's not like any pitcher warmed up or anything like that. They handled that the right way. Obviously it's frustrating, You know, if your coaches or players having to deal with that, but it wasn't just Virginia affected by that. Obviously, it was TCU, it was Dallas Baptist, it was Central Connecticut State, for that matter, the fourth seed in that Fort Worth regional. I would say that the thing that I think is that Virginia fans can really take frustration with is that, hey, it was sunny in Charlottesville over the weekend, and by all accounts, you know, Virginia deserved to host a regional. You know, it went 42-14, finished fourth place in the ACC. It beat Clemson the last game of the ACC tournament, and Clemson got a regional. UVA didn't, despite Clemson struggling the way it did down the stretch of the season, and UVA won its last six ACC series. I mean, basically every metric you can look at, minus that non-conference strength of schedule, which what the selection committee says, that's what they looked at in determining between Clemson and Virginia. Clemson had a stronger one than UVA's, that's fair. They took Clemson's. So I think that's the, I guess, would be the frustrating part if you're a UVA fan looking at this whole thing and then looking at the result. But, you know, even if this regional is in Charlottesville, I don't know if Virginia wins it. The pitching issues was a problem. They did not have a third starter. And if you win a regional, you might have to win three games if you're lucky, and potentially four games if you drop a game in that regional. And, I mean, look how bad UVA did in a third game of a regional. Imagine what would have happened pitching-wise if it got to a fourth. Who knows what would have happened. If they won that, they would have to play a fifth. And at that point, you know, position players could be thrown on the mound. Who knows? So it was a run of bad luck with the pitching situation toward the end there, and eventually caught up to them.
Andrew Ramspacker with us here on the Sports Line. How did Virginia get to this point with pitching issues? Is it just the youth and the injuries, or is this something that has also been related to how they've recruited and certain guys not showing up on campus because of the nature of college recruiting?
Yeah, I think a combination of those two. You know, last year, you know, Virginia lost two arms, two pitchers to the draft. One guy, Joey Wentz, was a first rounder, or a fringe first round. I think it was the 40th pick overall in that, between that first and second round. And a guy, Max Kranick, was taken in the 11th round by the, I believe, the Pittsburgh Pirates. And that was one that UVA thought it would get to come to campus, to come to Charlottesville, and he signed. And I think that was the one they were really kind of banking on. And, you know, Joey Wentz, who went in the first round, he probably would have been, if not their Friday night guy, maybe their Saturday guy, would have inserted himself right in that rotation, left-hander, a guy I thought very, very highly of, and a kid out of Kansas, and he just didn't come. That's the nature of this sport. You know, everybody deals with that, though. I mean, especially the elite programs, everybody's recruiting the best arms, and, you know, not everybody comes. And North Carolina, you know, got hurt by this really bad a couple of years ago. I think they lost six guys to the draft, and it ended up hurting them. They missed the NCAA tournament back-to-back seasons basically as a result of that. Some of their best recruits were going off to the draft. And so Virginia's been good for the most part. I think last year was the first time they lost three guys. They also lost a left side of the infielder, a third baseman, shortstop, Nolan Jones, to the draft as well. They lost three guys last year, which was unprecedented in the Brian O'Connor era. Usually it's one. I don't even know if they've had more than one in most cases. So, yeah, they didn't have that. But at the end of the day, guys, they didn't. There wasn't enough pitchers developed. I don't think. I think they didn't have great depth on the mound. And I know they had injuries, you know. And you know, the Adam Haseley thing can be debated whether you throw him or not. And I think I commend Brian O'Connor for that, from that, and that staff, for not throwing him. It was kind of a minor injury, but had potential to flare up to where it could affect his future. And Adam Haseley is going to maybe be a top 10 pick in the draft this upcoming week, and they chose to take him off the mound toward the end of the year. And that hurt the team. It did. You know, he was a guy that was so consistent for him on the mound the last 2 years, and suddenly you don't have him from the month of May and June, and you kind of scramble in that third position. And a guy like Noah Murdock, a freshman who was pitching really, really well, you know, he comes down and has a freak thing against Miami, and he gets shelved for the year. And all of a sudden, you're down two pitchers. Didn't have the depth, didn't have the quality arms developed to make up for that. And at the end of the day, it cost them. And, you know, this has kind of happened two straight years now where they've lost the exact same game of the regional, where pitching depth has not been there. And it's kind of hurt. So I think that's a position on that team that's trending in the wrong way, that they got to get figured out, maybe through recruiting, or maybe through just kind of better developing arms. Obviously, this program has had a rich history of really, really good pitchers, and for whatever reason, the last couple of years, the depth just has not been there.
Andrew Ramspacker, Charlottesville Daily Progress, joining us here on the Sports Line, talking a little UVA baseball. We've only got a couple minutes left. I know Ed wants to ask a football question or two. My question's a little bit different. Have you ever noodled?
Noodled?
Yes, noodling, right? Isn't that the term, Ed?
Yes, where you stick your hands in the water and try to pick a catfish out that way.
No. Guys, I was raised in the suburbs. I didn't do anything like that.
The suburbs of where, Andrew?
Suburbs of Columbus, Ohio. I don't think we did any of those type of things.
Yeah, that's kind of northern.
I've never heard of that term. I know, like, the noodle, like, going down, like, a lazy river in, like, a, you know, like a water park or something.
No, this is
noodling I know.
Yeah, this is crazy. We had to look up the term yesterday. It's where you actually stick your arm in a hole in, like, a river or lake or stream or something, and the catfish, like, bites your arm. And you just pull it out. You need to go.
You know what? I don't want to do that.
YouTube that.
I will never noodle in my life.
I'm with you. That's just a little weird. It's these southern folk like Ed.
No, not like me. That's not an activity in my world.
Ed's a big fisherman.
That's my dad, not me.
So your dad's noodled?
No, he's not noodled to my knowledge, although... Who knows what happened before I came along, and he may have been a little more wild. Andrew Ramspacker, Charlottesville Daily Progress, joining us here on the Sports Line. Andrew, as summer camps get going for Virginia, what's the overall mood of this team compared to last team exiting the spring? Is there more confidence between both the coaches and the players in each other than there was a year ago?
I'd say there's more reality from the coaches, at least. I would say at this time last year, there was this sense that Bronco Mendenhall and Matt Staff, coming from BYU and the accomplished history that it had at BYU for those 11 seasons where it never missed a bowl, I think it felt, and Bronco Mendenhall, I'm sure he would admit this, that they could go in and turn this thing around in year one. You know, they told assembled crowds, whether at a basketball game or a rally on the downtown mall in Charlottesville, hey, don't make holiday plans for December or for Christmas. We plan on making a bowl, yada, yada, yada. I think that first half of the Richmond game was a huge, huge hit of reality that this program is far from doing those type of things. And I think that from that point forward, you know, Bronco Mendenhall has lowered expectations a little bit. He realized this is a project. He realizes he has to attack certain areas that the previous staff did not do a good job of developing, particularly quarterback, particularly offensive line, and you got to take baby steps with that. And if you happen to, you know, go ahead and win six games next year, that's great. But I still think this is a long-term project. I think there's a sense of confidence that it'll get done, but I'm not so confident this staff thinks that. Again, it can kind of snap its fingers, and it happens right now in 2017. I think you're still looking at, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 wins, and then you build toward the next year. But this is an overall thing now. I think they're looking at a little more big picture right now from this staff right now as opposed to last season, at this point last year.
Andrew, we're up against the break. Got to run. Thank you for your time, man. Appreciate it. Talk again soon.
Hey, no problem, guys. Have a good one.
Andrew Ramspacker, Charlottesville Daily Progress.
More in tune with reality. That's an interesting assessment.
That's funny. They're running around telling people, hey, don't make plans for the holidays. We're going to a bowl game. And then halfway through the first game, they're like, uh-oh.
Does that sound like something that would happen with, like, the Jets? Don't make plans for January. We're going to be in the playoffs. Game in. Whoops. Not this year, of course, Rich. They're going ahead and telling their fans, make plans for late April of next year.
I don't think that. I don't think a new coach would ever come into the Jets and say, don't make plans for the playoffs.
They already went through that guy, Rex Ryan.
Well, you could say he didn't deliver.
Well, he did his first couple of years, actually. Did. They made the playoffs and won some games. They didn't make the Super Bowl. Correct.
But they got
to
the
for Belichick to kiss. But.
Championship game back-to-back years for Jet fans. I mean, I'd only seen two in my 40-plus years before he got there. Two championship games. So I saw double the amount in Rex Ryan's tenure.
It's quite a bit.
It's something. 4:53, quick break. Short break. We're coming back.